Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is in studio with me, and I'm excited about today because we've got an interview that I recorded earlier in the week that's going to dominate a lot of the show today, but I think you'll enjoy the interview. Steve Green, former Silver Creek standout, former IU basketball standout, went on to have a professional career with the Indiana Pacers, was actually drafted by the NBA and the ABA. Joined me earlier this week for a lengthy interview, about 40, 45 minutes or so. We covered a lot of subjects. We covered a lot of ground. And Lee, I thought it was a very timely opportunity to have Dr. Green, the dentist, on the Hoosier Report to talk. And we love having former IU players on, no question about it. But I thought it was a very timely opportunity to have him on because in addition to some great background and some great perspective and stories that he offers, he's a legend here in Southern Indiana as well. And his alma mater, your alma mater, Silver Creek, fresh off a state championship. And I know, like you, he's very, very excited about that.
Yeah, Steve was my neighbor. And his father taught me driver's ed, and I still have a bruise on my chest from the day I was driving a little faster than he thought I should have been, so he backhanded me. But, yeah, the family grew up in my neighborhood. I knew Steve when Steve was in the neighborhood. We haven't seen each other probably since I graduated from Silver Creek, so I can't say that Steve and I are good friends because that's not true. But good family. His dad I really enjoyed, except for that one day in driver's ed. So good family. I'm anxious to hear the interview because he's had quite a life.
Yeah, and I can tell you, and again, I recorded this with Steve on Monday with his work schedule, dentist, seeing patients. He was kind enough to give me really as much time as we needed and is excited to maybe come back on the program from time to time. But we've talked to a lot of former IU players, some more recognizable than others on this program since its inception, I guess, over 3 years ago. And I've enjoyed all of them. Damon Bailey, Pat Graham. Pat Graham's kind of become a somewhat regular guest in some ways. But the interview with Steve Green is really interesting because, I didn't know this, and I'll admit the age difference there is reason maybe I don't know as much about Steve Green other than his name and other than he was a really good player and other than he did some really neat stuff in his career at both places, at three levels. He was Bob Knight's first recruit at Indiana. So in this interview, we kind of start with Silver Creek and the state championship. Then we go into his time at Silver Creek. They got to Sima State, great memories for his family, being coached by his father and for the Sellersburg community. Then we get into IU. We talk about a young Bobby Knight, what he was like, what he would go on to become, how he recruited Steve, how recruiting is different then than obviously it is in today's crazy world. And we talk some about the professional stuff as well. But I think it's good, and I think listeners will enjoy it. So that will take up the bulk of today's program once we get through with this first segment. But I'm looking forward to seeing what people think about that.
Yeah, I think they will enjoy it. Like I said, a good family. His brother, RT, I think was a year older, played on the teams together. There was a younger brother that was actually the tallest of the three. Ended up playing, I believe, at Milan, which is where his dad was coaching at one point. He was actually 6'9", 6'10", but did not have necessarily the athletic ability of the other two. But interesting family. I'm looking forward to that interview.
So let's knock a couple things out quickly in this first segment. The guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham, segment one, Lee and I, with a couple headlines in just a moment. Then we'll send you to the Steve Green interview the rest of the show. That's all coming up today here on this Thursday program. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Also, I want to remind you that tonight, Lee Kelly and I will be live from Bear Nose in New Albany from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Big X High School Sports Report. We're going to talk with New Albany baseball tonight. They are going to be our featured high school athletes, our featured high school team. Coach Chris McIntyre, longtime baseball coach of the Bulldogs. He will bring his seniors, five seniors tonight to Bear Nose, and we'll get an early season look at New Albany baseball in advance of a couple games this weekend, but most importantly, in advance of the New Albany-Floyd Central game, which is the first game that we'll do on the radio Wednesday night at Mount Tabor Field, which will be a lot of fun. So join us for that tonight. If you want to tune in, great. We'd love to have you at Bear Nose. You know, the Big X pizza card, Bear Nose is on that. Great special. If you've got that card, you could come out and use that special tonight and get all kinds of food and drink and listen to Lee and I talk to New Albany baseball coach Chris McIntyre and some of his players. Okay, a couple headlines. Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. The big one today is another transfer leaving the IU program. Jake Forrester is now the third player from Indiana from the IU roster to announce that he is entering the transfer portal that the NCAA has. Now, three players doing so, two of them are scholarships. So that becomes two scholarships available in addition, as we always kind of phrase it, to what could happen, what we think will happen with Romeo Langford, and that's him going to the NBA. Really, if you look at Jake Forrester, he played in 13 games. In those games, he averaged 2.1 points, 1.3 rebounds, 54.5% field goal shooting, 4.3 minutes a game. You hate to say this, but on paper, not a big loss. When you lose a freshman like that, that was primarily relegated to a role deeper on the bench, it's more so potential that you're losing for the future. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think with Trace Jackson Davis coming in, with the possibility of Joey Brunk coming in from Butler, that he may have seen the handwriting on the wall. I kind of hate that because I don't know this young man, but his body language was very good when he was on the bench and in the games. He looked like a kid that was engaged, paying attention, and when he came in, I thought he gave you everything he had. So kind of hate to see this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But what it does do for a more immediate perspective is, man, it really makes things even more interesting for the next few weeks, the next month, as far as what path does IU go down to fill some of these scholarship openings now. And again, when will Romeo Langford announce? Is that what he's going to do? Because that becomes a third scholarship possibility as well. So Jake Forrester entering the portal, that's very interesting as well. Speaking of transfers, New Albany graduate Josh Jefferson, he announced yesterday that he's leaving Illinois State. He will be a senior next season. He's entered the NCAA transfer portal. I spoke with him last night. He's already heard from a couple other Division I schools that seem to be very interested. So it looks like he will land somewhere else where I think he's hoping to get more time and maybe a better situation for him. And another recruiting note that I wanted to pass along, Sean East. A lot of concern from fans that really enjoyed watching him play. Where's he going to land at now that he's played 1 year of prep school basketball? And I don't know where he's going to land. I know his recruiting interest is really heating up. He's got some in-home visits this week with coaches now that he's back in the area. But yesterday, he got an offer, I believe his first Division I offer, and I think more are in process of coming now that his season is closed, from Mercer, a Division I school, mid-major, solid program normally down in Georgia. New coach, just took over Mercer. It's Purdue assistant and Indiana native Greg Gary, who's from northern Indiana. Well, I'm sure Coach Gary saw Sean East alongside Romeo and some of those New Albany teams that made runs deep into the tournament. Now that Coach Gary, who was with Purdue Saturday in Louisville in their thrilling loss, unfortunately, in the Elite Eight, he now has his own program, one of his first moves to offer Sean East a scholarship.
And am I right? Sean has 4 years of eligibility
yes,
left.
Absolutely.
This was a prep year, didn't count.
Yeah,
gotcha.
No hindrance toward that. So that's another interesting note. Sean East with the scholarship offer from Mercer and former Purdue assistant coach Greg Gary. That came yesterday. Also, big football news yesterday. And this actually broke while we were on the air yesterday. IU announced that quarterback Jack Tuttle has been granted immediate eligibility by the NCAA, which once again, this offseason for football is going to be highlighted by a three-horse race, three guys in the running for the IU quarterback slot. Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison, headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville each day on the program. Stay with us the rest of the show. We have a really, I think, good interview with Steve Green, former IU player, former Silver Creek player. We cover a lot of ground with him, a lot of talk about Bob Knight, a lot of thoughts on his IU programs at this current juncture, and we'll have that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on the show, and I tell you what, one of the great things, one of the best segments that I think we are able to have on this program is when we connect with a former IU player. We've had some of the greats on, former Hoosiers, and it really is well received by you guys, the listeners. And today, given that we're smack dab in the middle of March Madness, I guess we're in early April now, so March Madness is leaving us, but given that we're in the middle of the NCAA tournament and given that the high school championships are still very relevant for this 2018-19 season, it's great today to have Steve Green with us. Steve, a former Silver Creek standout, a graduate of the class of 1971, and of course went on to play after a terrific high school career for the Dragons at Indiana University, played professionally as well for the Indiana Pacers, and has had a great professional career. Also, of course, Steve is very excited right now about his alma mater, the Dragons, winning the 3A state championship back in March. Steve, thank you so much for taking time out to join us today. I look forward to covering a lot of ground with you and starting with your alma mater, Silver Creek, and not only some of your memories from there, but the great success that Brandon Hoffman and those seniors and his underclassmen that are so talented had a few weeks ago in Indianapolis.
Well, first of all, Matt, thank you for asking me to join you today. I appreciate that, and I'll just give a shout-out to all my Silver Creek buddies and Southern Indiana friends and hope that they have a chance to listen in here today. And you're right, Matt, I'm still excited. I'm probably not as excited as some of the guys on the team or the coach, but close to it with Silver Creek's state championship. It's just was one of those dream comes true, you know, for our high school and our community. And in fact, you probably know George Girth, who has been highlighted here, you know, and he's been around for a while. He won't mind me saying that. But before the game, when we got together for the shoot around the day of the game, I looked at him. I said, "Well, Georgie, it's taken a while, buddy, but we're here." And we were kind of laughing. And as soon as the game was over, as soon as he could get over to where I was sitting, he yelled up at me with that big smile. And I said, "Yeah, buddy, yeah, we did it." Now, that's a collective we, of course, you know, but that's it felt like family. You know, it felt like that the whole tradition of Silver Creek basketball wrapped up into one nice bow there, and couldn't be more proud of the team and of the coaches,
Steve,
that's for sure.
Steve, as you're sitting there at Bankers Life watching Silver Creek play for all the marbles for a state championship, I can't, and I know you stay in touch. I know you're still involved with the Sellersburg community and have friends here and that sort of thing. But I can't help to believe that as you watch this current team find great success, you didn't, especially seeing people like George Girth and other classmates, I'm sure, and other people from the community that you know and recognized over the years, I can't imagine that seeing them have their success and seeing that community come together the way it did didn't bring back some awful good memories of your times as a Creeker.
No question, Matt. We, And, you know, so many people in the Indianapolis area were remarking to me, you know, both about the semi-state as well as the state, and, you know, saying things like, gosh, I can't believe how many people are here from Sellersburg and for Silver Creek. You know, gosh, I'm, you know, is it always like that? And I remember back, you know, in our day, absolutely. I mean, you know, you talk about teams collegiately now, that, like Kentucky, that travel well. Well, there's nobody like the Dragons of Silver Creek for traveling well. I mean, it was almost a home crowd there at Bankers Life, and it was really neat to be right down in the middle of it with my old bud Bradley Wayne Walker and his dad, Big Brad, and Perry, his brother, and we're sitting there, and people that I went to school with, Cindy McKinley was right behind me, and her brother Dale, and her sister Donna, and it's like, yeah, this is all good for me, you know. And the good news, I didn't have to play. I couldn't anyway. But you're right. It brings back memories. It was really interesting that the team practiced on Friday at Marion University and then had shoot around on Saturday at Marion. And ironically, the athletic director at Marion University now is Steve Downing. Well, Steve was on the Indianapolis Washington team in 1969 that beat Silver Creek, beat us in the semi-state to keep us from having, you know, our chance at a state championship back then. And I was telling him on Saturday morning, I said, so let me get this straight. You did everything you could to make sure I couldn't get a state championship, and now you're opening up your gym so that Silver Creek can get a state championship now. So now you're cool with it, huh? And he just laughed. He said, yeah, that's the way that goes, bud. We got ours now, and you guys get yours today. And it was really neat.
Absolutely. Really cool stuff. Your memories in Silver Creek, obviously, a great career, no question about that, from start to finish for you, but a unique situation. You got the opportunity to play for your father and, of course, a semi-state appearance as well that, as we've discussed, kind of very similarly to the state championship run this year, really brought Sellersburg together.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. Some people don't know that, you know, Dad took the job at Silver Creek in, I think it was 59, when we first moved there, I was, I think, 4 years old. And so I went to kindergarten at Silver Creek out and on up through the fifth grade. But then, and Dad was, you know, coached two sectional champion teams, 61 and 64. And so he had opportunities to go elsewhere. You know, that's just how that is. You know, you coach and you get noticed. And so after the 64 season, Dad was actually hired by Clarksville High School. So we actually moved from Sellersburg to Clarksville, got a house, and, you know, I was upset about leaving Sellersburg. I'm a fifth grader. I love it there, you know, but this is, you know, this is about my dad and him doing what he wants to do in coaching. And we weren't at Clarksville very long before the next thing I know, Mom and Dad sat us down, my older brother RT and my younger brother Bruce, and said, hey, we're actually going to Connersville, Indiana. And Dad had gotten a job, you know, as the head coach at Connersville. And it was something that he just couldn't turn down. And I think they, you know, had that conversation with the Clarksville people, and they were gracious enough. And, you know, that so he actually, we went from Sellersburg then to Clarksville for about a month, and then on up to Connersville, which was like the end of the earth to me. I mean, that was so far away. I didn't know anything about Connersville, but my father knew that Connersville was in a really good conference, you know, with Seymour and some of the other big schools, Newcastle, and so they, you know, it was a big deal. It was a big move for him to coach at a big school like that. And so he was there 2 years and then got hired from there to Frankfort, Indiana, and then we moved from Frankfort back to Sellersburg for my sophomore year and RT's junior year. So we actually had a little hiatus there of about 5 years where we just went and, you know, ate a bunch and grew a bunch and came back home. And Silver Creek had won the sectional the year before my dad got there. Before we returned, I should say. Kenny Trinkle was the coach, and he was not going to coach the next year. And my dad heard about the opening at Silver Creek the summer before my sophomore year. We were at the Madison Regatta. and somebody said something about that, and my dad sat down with RT and me and talked about the possibility of what we said, going back home and having him coach us, or we were going to move from Frankfort anyway to Carmel, Indiana. And I've told this story before that, you know, Carmel was coached by Bill Shepard, who just recently passed away, and, you know, had his two boys, Billy and David, both end up being Mr. Basketballs. But at that time, you know, I'm going to go into my sophomore year, RT in his junior year, and Dad said, well, we're going to move to Carmel. Dad was out of coaching that year. And or we can go back to Silver Creek. And I remember telling my dad, I said, hey, man, I didn't say it like that. It was a little more respectful. I said, hey, I want to go back to Silver Creek because I sure as heck don't want to go to Carmel and become the state's leading rebounder for the Shepherds. I want to be the state's leading scorer for Silver Creek. And so Dad kind of said, you know what, let's do this. And so it was kind of fairy tale to go back home and kind of, there was already a foundation there. We had, you know, really successful teams right before that, and to end up, you know, winning the first regional at that time in '69, and going up and winning the Columbus regional, and then going on to the semi-state. So it was kind of a long way around there, but we ended up in the right place.
Absolutely. We're talking with Steve Green, former Silver Creek standout, former Indiana Hoosier, played professional basketball as well, just kind of going from start to finish, really, in his basketball career today here on the Hoosier Report. Let me ask this about Silver Creek. This is kind of an in general question, so feel free to take this where you want. But as you see Silver Creek win a state championship this year, and as you recall some of your great memories of playing for your father and of having postseason success with the Dragons when you were a player, what was it like to play in Southern Indiana? I think today, like when Silver Creek goes to Indianapolis, like when New Albany went with Romeo a few years ago, like even when Borden did it back earlier and won the 1A championship, the common theme I hear talking to friends across the state, coaches across the state, other media people across the state is, my goodness, Southern Indiana, they still, in today's age, really support their teams. It's unbelievable. So, obviously, a little younger than you, I have to go off of people like you for the great memories and stories of some of the basketball of yesterday. But I've got to believe that if Southern Indiana still is really strong now for how it supports its teams and how communities rally together, that back then it was just almost on an unbelievable level. So what was it like to play basketball in Southern Indiana during your time at Silver Creek?
Yeah, it's been discussed, of course, that, you know, things are different now, and you know, kids have more to do, and we didn't have as much to do back then. But, you know, you play the hands that, you know, that you're dealt. And back then, you know, that's all we knew was Friday night or Saturday night was going to be high school basketball. And it was always amazing to people that we talked to, even back then, you know, people that we knew in Indianapolis or farther north, to talk about selling out our gymnasium of 3,500 when there were only 2,200 people in town. You know, and you hear stories about that. Ligoti has that, you know, kind of story. That, you know, Bedford, you know, all over the place in Southern Indiana, we have those stories where, yeah, more people show up than are actually in the town, because the other team, you know, would always bring, you know, a big group too. So we were always treated to you know, games were well attended. I don't remember ever going in and not being an important game, you know, for a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid. You know, when there's a full house, you just you've come to expect it, but it's also a neat feeling. You were always jacked up. And Silver Creek has continued on. And yes, there were some low periods, and I know that, you know, every school has those. But I don't find it insignificant that Brandon Hoffman is at the, you know, the helm now, and he's a former Silver Creek player, you know, and he understands the legacy, he understands the tradition, and he's been there now 8 or 9 years, I think, and with tremendous success, and I'm so proud of him and how he's done it from the grade schools on up. I mean, you've got to have in smaller schools and smaller towns, you've got to have a feeder system where kids want to be a Silver Creek Dragon when they grow up, and that's all I ever wanted to be when I was a third or fourth grader. It was one of the reasons that I, you know, I cried so much when I left as a fifth grader. I wanted to play for Silver Creek. I wanted to be like Reed Bailey and Woody Bailey. Those were my heroes that played. And so anyway, you know, Brandon has that now. He tells me about the success they have down through the grades now, and of course then through middle school, and then that leads, you know, into successful freshman and JV programs, and then you have these kind of seniors that he had. You know, I'm kind of going off again to present day, but again, I think I talked to the team last year at Bankers Life after they played New Albany, and they lost to New Albany, but I talked to them about, you know, playing the rest of this year and succeeding as much as they could that year, 2018, for their seniors. And again, I said the same thing this year before the state finals to them. You know, do this for the guys that have put in the time. And you know, what a senior class that Silver Creek has this year. I mean, and it's not just basketball. You know, last year we saw it in baseball, too. And it's not just boys, it's girls, too. And so it's just a wonderful time to see that. The tradition of being a Silver Creek Dragon in any sport and seeing them do so well. But my hat's off to guys like Zane Gross and, you know, and of course Josh Landers comes in and hits two big threes in the state finals, and Jack Hawkins, and, you know, the seniors just were such great guys. And so it's not surprising to me that the success is still there.
Absolutely. Steve Green is my guest. I want to transition from Silver Creek to IU, which obviously is where you played college basketball and would have a great career at that level as well. And I want to start our conversation about your time at IU with some of your memories and things like that with this question. When is the first time you or your father or your family heard from first-year IU coach Bob Knight that he might be interested in you coming to Bloomington to play for his upstart Hoosiers program?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You got to remember back in those days, I was just joking with Mike Flynn the other day. He and I sat at a Pacer game together, and we were laughing about our senior years and how we got recruited, and nobody signed early. Okay, number one, everybody was in it for the visits. You could have as many visits as you wanted and as many nice dinners as you want with the coaches, and they come into town, and the Marriott was the best place to eat at that time, and you know, Mike would be there with the coach at Auburn, and I'd be over here with the coach of Florida, and the next night he'd be with the Florida coach, and I'd be the Auburn coach at the same restaurant. Only now, you know, we're going back and forth, so we you know, it was kind of that way, you know, back then. But Coach Knight had just arrived. He didn't arrive until April of 71 in Bloomington, and that was my senior year. I'd already played my senior year. He'd never seen me play live. He hadn't seen anybody. He came in, and as he tells it, he got the list of the best players in Indiana that had, you know, nobody had committed by April, you know, so everybody was still unsigned but leaning heavily every place. And he started at the northern part of Indiana and worked his way down. And the last two people he saw in the state of Indiana when he did this were Mike Flynn and me. And Mike was really already pretty well committed to Kentucky. I was leaning to Vanderbilt or Kentucky, as a matter of fact, back then, because I'd always wanted to go to IU, but it just wasn't a good place at that time. There was a lot of unrest at that particular time, and one of the reasons they brought in Coach Knight, very honestly. And but anyway, so he came in and he met with my father first, and my dad came to get me out of whatever class I was in, and brought me to his office and said, "I want you to meet the new coach of Indiana." And he said, "Son, I really want you to listen to this guy." And it was kind of funny. I go, "Well, you've never told me to do that with anybody else. What's the deal with this guy?" And Coach Knight was so impressive. And, of course, that was the start we didn't know it at the time, but started a great friendship with my dad and Coach Knight. One built on honesty and straightforwardness and no false promises. And Coach Knight didn't promise me like some other coaches were at that time. They promised that, hey, you know, freshmen weren't eligible at that time. So, hey, by the time you're a sophomore, you'll be a starting forward. You'll do this. And Coach Knight was more about, hey, you know, in your 4 years here, we're going to build a program where our number one goal is to be competitive for a national championship. We want to win Big Ten championships, but we want to be in a position by your senior year to be able to win a national championship. That was what it was all about, and that was his so-called sales pitch. So, I visited IU, and I'd always wanted to go there. My uncle was a professor at IU. My aunt was a counselor up there and a graduate. I loved the Van Arsdales. I loved Branch McCracken. I went to their camps. I lied about my age to get into camp, IU camp up in Angola. I mean, I was tall enough so I could get away with it. So I'd listen to IU players, but like I say, if you look in the 68, 69, 70, 71 period at IU, they things weren't going well, and there was unrest on college campuses all over the place, and it just wasn't going to happen. And then he comes in and makes my dream come true to be able to play at Indiana.
Wow, interesting stuff. Steve Green, former Silver Creek standout, former IU player, our guest today as we go back through his career and some of the key moments and some of the more interesting moments as well. I obviously, when we have former Hoosiers on, one of the big questions is about Coach Knight, because there are so many stories and so many memories. Is there any one thing that jumps out to you about him in the time that you played under him at IU, that whether it was a very good moment you'll remember, or maybe even a very bad moment, but that he was at the forefront of, that you want to tell us about or share with us?
Well, there are so many, you know, some not for prime time, and some that, kind of talk over a beer or something sometimes, and it's fun, because I back then, nobody knew who this guy was. In fact, the first time I saw Coach Knight, he was actually coaching West Point. And it was my dad and I, and this is before we moved back to Silver Creek, my dad and I went up to West Lafayette, of all places, to watch Rick Mount play. And back then, Rick Mount it was his freshman year, and so freshmen, again, were not eligible to play on varsity. So at Purdue, the freshman games would be sold out. I mean, you couldn't get a seat unless you got there early to see Rick Mount play his freshman game. And then when the varsity came, people would leave. Wow. I mean, literally. And the night I went up to see Rick play, the varsity was playing West Point, coached by Bob Knight, and he had a really good player, Mike Silliman, who was an Olympian, but we weren't there for that. I think we stayed half the game, and I remember, not being like, gosh, who would go to, West Point? I mean, to play basketball, you want to play at a big time basketball program, that kind of thing. So I didn't give it another thought, and then here, a couple of years later down the road, that's my new coach, at Indiana. But he brought with him a lot of that, a lot of the Army discipline, too. So the first year was really interesting because, again, we were his first recruiting class at IU, and yet we weren't eligible to play for him on the varsity, so we had to play freshman schedule, and, we played Kentucky and Louisville and Indiana State and Ball State, Ohio State, maybe had 10 or 12 games. So, but we practiced every day with the varsity. So, man, here comes this new coach, and he's trying to install this defensive principle, and these drills are going on, and we're looking at each other, and especially upperclassmen are like, this guy's insane. He's some of these drills, the charge drills and all these kind of things are now legendary because we're so happy we went through it because we lived, but at the time we weren't sure we were going to live through these things. And like, this is basketball. But that was the beginning. It was the beginning of, here's how we're going to play. We're going to play, you know, smart. We're going to be, we're going to outwork everybody, and we're going to reap the benefits of it. So, you know, that first year was really odd, and I would have loved to have been freshman eligible, because he was so upset, you know, during the course of the season with the guys that he had inherited. He would have played us all the time. I mean, it would have been great to be, you know, at least would have been playing varsity basketball, but you know, that may not have been a good thing, you know, when you think about it, because I sure wasn't strong enough yet. I was a young freshman, and so it took me until my sophomore year to put on enough muscle to really play at the Big Ten level anyway. So it was kind of weird. We were all getting used to him at that time, and then and I remember, you know, I made the Indiana All-Stars after my senior year. So we're all sitting around talking about where we're going to go, and Mike Flynn was Mr. Basketball, and he's, you know, going to Kentucky, and Junior Bridgman was on the squad, and he's going to Louisville because there was a new coach at Louisville the same time that IU signs, you know, Coach Knight to be a new coach. The new coach at U of L was Denny Crum. Mm. And so, you know, we're sitting around, we're comparing, you know, and they're all laughing at me. Like, I heard your coach is crazy. I mean, the word was already out that, hey, your coach, you know, he was a coach at West Point, and all he likes to do is, you know, gosh, Green, you love to shoot the ball, and you're going to play for a guy that's defensive-minded. You know, are you insane? And what was cool is, like, 4 years later when I played, you know, after my senior year, I played at All-Star Games. We all traveled around, Junior and some of the other guys, John Garrett from Purdue, and they were all envious 4 years later, like, wow, that must have been really cool to play for that guy, you know, and I wish I would have. And I go, you know, 4 years ago, you guys weren't saying that. So we were all entering new territory, so I didn't have anybody to lean on. I was like, hey, that's the only coach I know, so it was really cool.
Wow, really interesting stuff. Steve Green is my guest today, talking with the former Hoosier great. 1,265 points in your career at Indiana, and a team record of 76-12. That's pretty impressive for a guy like you to be part of, and obviously a big part of, scoring 1,200-plus points, but also pretty impressive for, at that time, a new coach to that quickly build a program with that sort of record and that sort of success.
Yeah, we, you know, his first year when freshmen, his, you know, first recruiting class wasn't eligible again, as I say. They really struggled in January of that year, but they ended up making it to the NIT. And that was something to build on. You know, Indiana hadn't been to a postseason for a good while. And then, so the next year, we had good senior leadership and Steve Downing, you know, ironically, the same guy that, you know, I played against when I was a sophomore in high school in the semi-state. Now, as a sophomore, I'm his teammate. And so he was our center, and then we had another guy named John Ritter, who was a really good college player. So those are our two seniors. But now, our second year, we take advantage of, that's when freshmen became eligible again. You know, so my freshman year was the last year of, you know, freshmen not being eligible to play varsity. So now we have, we had two starting guards for us by the end of the year. Were freshmen, and one of them was Jimmy Cruz, who became a, you know, great coach and not only assistant with Coach Knight, but also a coach at Evansville, did great things down there. But Quinn Buckner was the other guard. So that was our starting five. We had two freshman guards and a sophomore forward and me, and then we had two seniors. And we, you know, we had a kind of a bumpy year, but we ended up, we beat Kentucky at home early in the year. That was the first time I had a real good game, and I was always, I kept trying to tell these guys. I said, "Look, I know this is IU, and I know you're supposed to hate Purdue, but you got it. You know, I'm from Southern Indiana. We hate Kentucky. Okay, so do not lose this game." I said, "This is the one I want. I'll help you guys, you know, you Northern guys, beat Purdue, but by God, you got to help me beat Kentucky every year." So it was a big deal my sophomore year when we beat them at home. And then we end up winning the Big Ten title. And Minnesota at that time was really good. And they end up losing their last two games. We win our last two to win it outright. So we got to play in the Mid-East Regional at Vanderbilt, because in those days, you know, you didn't have the seeding that we have now. You didn't have the games are only 32. At one point it was 24, but I think they expanded it to 32 teams to get in, not 64. So you had to win your conference outright to be eligible to go on to the NCAA. And so we went immediately to Mid-East Regional, and we played against a top five team, Marquette. And we were, you know, underdogs to them, but we beat them. Al McGuire was the coach, and they had great players that went on to play in the league and the NBA, and we beat them. And then for the championship, we had to play Kentucky again, and they were favored to beat us, and we ended up beating Kentucky to go to the Final Four my sophomore year. So that was the second year of Coach Knight, and of course, we get out there and we get paired up against UCLA, and UCLA was in the middle of 10 in a row or something like that, something ridiculous. But and they had great teams. But yeah, once we got that once we were able to do that my sophomore year, we were all in. And so from that point forward, it was just about making sure we're better than that the next year and keep improving on that. So we got off to a good start.
Steve Green is my guest, talking with the former IU player, of course, from Sellersburg, Indiana. So many great memories. I think we could do this for a couple hours, to be quite honest with you. Hopefully you'll be willing to come back with us at some point in the future. But I do want to ask you, going on with IU stuff, when is the last time you spoke with Coach Knight? How recent has that been? And also teammates from your IU days, any relationships, connections still exist today, I'm sure.
Sure. Matt, in January, the last time I called Coach Knight, I call him, as often as I can. And, then we kind of set things up so that, a couple weeks later, about 20 of us got together with him. He and Karen, his wife, came into town. And so we were able to get with him, take pictures, tell stories again. And the guys that, show up there, it's Quinn Buckner is here in town. He's a color analyst for the Pacers. Then I already mentioned Steve Downing, who's athletic director at Marion University. But guys from all different eras. Out of the 20 guys, there were representatives of each of his national championship teams, 76, 81, and 87. And that's not unusual for us. We've had big gatherings. Every time he comes into town, the word gets out. We spread the word and get together and usually meet in Indianapolis at his favorite greasy spoon that he likes, the working man's friend. The best cheeseburgers in Indy, but we'll have guys from different areas. Alan Henderson, somebody that's younger, Alan and Calvert Chaney and Brian Evans, and guys in the '90s, and then his son Pat Knight. But then we'll go back to the first guys, and that's myself and Leskowski and others. So we stay close to him, and he's gonna be at Center Grove High School on the south side of Indianapolis this Thursday night, so we'll go down.
Absolutely.
Unseen. Absolutely. So we just stay in touch. He's 78 now, and we still cherish the time that we all have together, so we've done a pretty good job of doing that. And that comes on the heels, I'll be very honest with you, it comes on the heels of, we had a bad divorce at IU. When he was let go in 2000, that was bad, and it still hasn't been. We haven't healed, to tell you the truth. The Knight players are still. We're in kind of I wouldn't call it purgatory, but we're not sure, who we belong to. We're very loyal to him. And others. We didn't go back for years, and then we've kind of slowly made our way back to Bloomington, and And Archie Miller has been really good about opening the doors for former players. And you know, it's, you know, you don't want to just overstep your bounds, but it's you do want to be invited back and feel like that you're welcome. And we've had that, you know, to varying degrees. But, you know, Archie's been really, really good about that. So, you know, we're still IU guys, but we're also still very much Coach Knight guys.
Taking a trip down memory lane today, Steve Green, Silver Creek, IU, former standout, kind of going through some of the great memories and some of his favorite times. A couple other things for you, and again, this is something I hope we can do from time to time. I have just enjoyed hearing just a handful of your memories and of your thoughts, and I know there's a lot of other ground we can cover, but upon leaving Indiana, upon graduation from Indiana, you had the opportunity to get drafted. You had the opportunity to play in the NBA, an experience that many, many great college basketball players even don't get the chance to go on and do. So I'm curious, kind of maybe a summary of that point of your life and that very unique period of experiences you got to go through.
Sure. And make no mistake about it, I became way better. Not that I was a great player, but I became way better as a college player than I ever dreamt I would be because of him, because of Coach Knight, and because of our system. And because of that, you know, when I say that at the end of my senior year I got to play in a lot of all-star games, it was because of our team success. Make no mistake about it. I don't sit back and say, yeah, I was so good on my own. I could have, you know, this would have happened had I gone to Vanderbilt or Kentucky. I don't believe that. I believe I had to go where I went, and I got the most out of it, and I got more than I ever dreamed about, because I always dreamed of playing professionally. I was, you know, as a coach's son, basketball was everything, but pro basketball wasn't, you know, as big a deal growing up as it is right now. There's no question. But for me, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a professional basketball player. I thought that would be the coolest thing in the world. And my dream came true because of our success at IU. And I was drafted, fortunately for me, the last year of the two leagues. The ABA was still in existence, and the NBA, of course, was. So we had two leagues, so you were able to play one against the other, if you will. That helped financially, but it also helped from an opportunity standpoint. So I was actually drafted in the first round by Utah of the ABA, and I was the first pick of Chicago Bulls in the NBA. And so I was able to figure out what would be best for me. And for my guys, my buddies, and my buddies back then were, you know, a couple of guys that played at North Carolina State, that they had won the national championship in 74 with a guy named David Thompson, who you'll hear even referred to these days, you know, when people talk about the best they've ever seen play. And so David signed with Denver of the ABA, and his buddy and my best friend, Monty Tao, who's from Oak Hill, it was on the Indiana All-Star team with me in 71, Monty signed with Denver. And so I was kind of like, gosh, and that was the fun league. Dr. J was still, you know, an ABA-er, and I just, and then the money kind of was like, hey, that's even better, and we're going to live in Salt Lake City, and all right, sign me up. So got to play in the ABA, but unfortunately, that was the last year of the ABA, so it started to crumble even during the year, financial things. And so my team, Utah, folded December of that year, so I was sold, just at midnight, the stroke of midnight, three of us were sold, and that was a good deal because that guaranteed your contract. Sold to St. Louis, Spirits of St. Louis, and finished out the ABA season. And then there was an ABA dispersal draft when the ABA folded, and the NBA said, we're going to take four teams in from the ABA, the Pacers, the Nuggets, New Jersey Nets, and San Antonio Spurs. And the rest of you guys can, you know, the Kentucky Colonels, sorry, you're out. So they only took four. So those of us that were on those teams, St. Louis didn't get in, we were put into a dispersal draft, and anybody could pick us up for a price. And so I got selected by Indiana. And so then I played with the Pacers, but only in the NBA. you know, I was with the Pacers their first 3 years in the NBA. So that was good. And was, you know, I knew the coach well, Slick Leonard. He was an old IU guy. And so, you know, had a good time doing that. And, but again, it was because of having success at IU that I even had the chance, but got some years in the NBA and then played overseas to finish it up. I played in Rome and came back, and that was enough, I thought. But, you know, because I thought, man, I'm getting old. You know, I'm 28 years old or 29. Like, hey, man, you know, we have a saying now that we, and I tell younger players, I said, have them rip the jersey off your back. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Don't ever think that you sit there and go, boy, this is kind of rough. You know, no, it isn't. It isn't rough. It's fun. So I may have quit a little early. Don't know. Might have been perfect timing. Who knows?
Steve Green is our guest. Steve, unbelievable stuff today, going back to Silver Creek and, of course, IU as well, and even the professional times, and a lot of other questions, so I would like to do it again. But perfect timing to do this, because not only can we hear neat stories of your past, and I know a lot of people in Southern Indiana will be glad to hear from you in this interview on this program, but also it's kind of great timing with Silver Creek winning a state championship. It just, I thought, tied it all together very nicely. Before we let you go for this interview today, I do want to just, and I think a lot of people know Dr. Green and what you're up to, but tell us what you're up to, where you're at, just some general personal things maybe, so fans and people in the community that watched you, that know you, that have followed you will maybe get a refresher on what currently is going on with you.
Well, sure. Thanks, Matt. I practiced dentistry, you know, after I finished with professional basketball. I actually had it written in my contract to have deferred money so I could pay for dental school and not have to work through that. So that was kind of a luxury. And so practiced dentistry for 32 years, and 2 years ago sold my dental practice, but did not retire because for the last 2 years and for basically 10 years prior to that, so about 12 years now, I've been also interested in snoring and sleep apnea treatment, and dentists have a real crucial role in that. We can provide medical devices for people that have those issues and that don't want to wear or can't wear these CPAPs, CPAP machines and things of this nature. So it's really a neat thing. It gets me, continues to allow me to utilize my skills, the things that I'd learned through the years to help people. And I have I'm still a coach's son. I'm still a Southern Indiana boy. And I've got a team of people. I've got a company called Hoosier Sleep Solutions where we help screen, test, and treat folks. You know everything from trucking companies, on-site clinics, long-term care facilities, all kinds of things. We can go in and help and provide proper treatment for the folks. But in putting together my team, my partner, my ace partner is Brian Evans, who played at IU in the 90s, was the number one draft choice of Orlando back then and played a few years. So, and everybody on my team is a Hoosier. that's my, everybody, you know, my mantra is I just want Hoosiers. I just want people that I know and trust, and preferably Southern Indiana Hoosiers on my team to trust, and then we'll go take on anybody. And that kind of gets me back to what you said, and I dismissed it too much when you talked about Southern Indiana and the pride that we have. And again, the other night when I'm sitting with Mike Flynn and we talk about our Southern Indiana roots, and we would never trade that for anything. We talked about going over to Louisville to the Dirt Bowl and getting our butts kicked, but also figuring out, you know, like gunslingers, how good do we have to be able to play, you know, at the next level. But it was all about, you know, playing against each other and playing, you know, for our teams in Southern Indiana. We were so happy and so so proud of our tradition of being a Southern Indiana player that, you know, I kept telling Archie, you know, when they were getting, recruiting Romeo, I said, hey, man, get yourself a Southern Indiana player up here soon. You know, I hope it's not the last one. And that's kind of a wink, wink to even some kids that may or may not be at my high school in a couple years, right? That you might want to, get on up there and get some of that success because it, you know, lightning may strike twice. A Silver Creek guy that played at Indiana, good things can happen. Let's just put it that way. So, but couldn't be more proud to be talking to my Southern Indiana folks right now. So I appreciate the opportunity, Matt.
Absolutely. Steve, I can't thank you enough for carving time out of your busy schedule to join us. And a lot of great stuff over these last few segments that you've joined us. I look forward to staying in touch and having you back from time to time here on the Hoosier Report to talk about some memories of the past and maybe some current happenings as well with Silver Creek and IU and who knows what.
Please do, Matt, anytime. I'll be happy to.
Really good to catch up with Steve Green, I thought, especially given Silver Creek's success and obviously his history is, there as well. It made a lot of sense to have him with us during this time. And the good news is he's going to come back with us. A good interview, somebody good to talk to, a lot of great perspective about Bob Knight and the IU program over the years. Glad to have Steve with us. That wraps things up for today. Back on Friday with you. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.